Hi, Jeffy.
Welcome to Hey Jeff, podcast about Survivor 46, Danielle.
Yes.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Happy Saturday.
Good afternoon. Oh, and it's a long weekend here in Canada, so it really is a happy Saturday.
What's the occasion?
On Monday, we have the day off because for Queen Victoria's birthday.
Cool.
Yeah.
She hasn't been with us for a few centuries, right?
She's out. She's definitely out. But we still celebrate.
I guess we do that for like George Washington's birthday.
Yeah.
Whatever.
President's Day. Yeah.
That's nice. Do you have Memorial Day next weekend, or is this your, like, the Canadian government being like, yeah, we need a three-day weekend or else all of our bankers are going to be upset and all the American bankers have a day off.
Exactly. No, we don't have Memorial Day off, but if you've ever worked at a company with Americans and you're the non-American, you'll know that, like, that's a great day for you, too, because they're usually – no one's working on that day. So then what is there really left for you to do?
I think I'll work from a picnic blanket at the park that Monday.
Beautiful BBQs. Beautiful. The pools open. Open the pools. Open the schools.
Open the pools. If you're in line for the pools, stay in line. They have to let you swim in the pool.
I love swimming in swimming pools. My child is learning how. So I've been swimming every week with her. It's very fun.
Desperately, like, lacking on that in my life, I very much consider – we'll talk about Survivor. Well,
yes.
I almost considered buying, like, a kiddie pool on Amazon.com for myself, just for me, an adult man, to sit in by myself on a weekend.
I fully endorse.
There's pools in Los Angeles.
Yeah, aren't there public pools?
Yeah, there are. You have to pay money for them. But I don't know if I'm there. It's not that much, but I don't know if I'm there yet mentally. I don't know if I'm mentally prepared enough to go to a public pool.
Well, you can't go alone.
What if I'm like swimming and doing laps and I have goggles on?
Okay, yes. If you're like keeping busy, yes. But you can't just go there.
The play side.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can't just go and like sit in the shade. We've all seen little children. You can't just go and hang out.
Okay, I need to talk about something completely unrelated to Survivor, but 1000% related to Little Children, one of my favorite movies of all time. There was a TikTok on the app TikTok that I saw.
Heard of it.
And it was... It was a scene from early in the movie where Kate Winslet catches her husband, you know, Django. He's having he's having a little bit of a time.
Yeah.
Self time, right? And she walks, it's like the movie's about these two couples who are like not sexually content with each other, right?
Yeah.
Jay Connolly and Patrick Wilson and Kate Winslet and her husband, who's not played by a celebrity. And it was that scene, and the caption was like on the screen was like, "This is the craziest thing that happens in this movie." And it's like, I don't know if anyone's seen Little Children, or the person who made this thing only stopped at 10 minutes into the movie. This is a very early development in the film.
Well, it's like that's the point to get people to watch.
15th craziest, most disturbing thing that happens in that movie, which is why I love that movie.
This is not...
Great. Everyone go watch Little Children. Don't blame me
everyone
if
watch
you
Little Children.
Have psychological issues afterwards.
Don't... this is not related to Survivor, and this is not related to Little Children.
Good.
But I did watch a movie called Red Eye last night, starring Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy.
There we go.
And for some reason, we watched all the credits. There is an actor in that movie named Chip Crank. And I just, when you're talking about that guy jacking off, I just thought Chip Crank was such a great name.
The producer of Crank, the movie Crank with Jason Statham and Amy Smart was like, oh, wow, I have an idea. Okay. I'm so sorry for everyone who came here. Our viewer numbers were like pretty high for the beginning of an episode. And then they just dropped dramatically because I was talking about Little Children for 5 minutes.
No one wants
Anyways, play your idols. Like, Do you think in season 47 or 48, maybe 47 is already in the can and they won't have seen it, but do you think maybe a season or two from now, we're going to see a swing in idol playing strategy where everyone's like, I'm not going to be Jem. I'm not going to be...
Forgot about her.
Yeah, who? Remember her? I'm going to be Hunter. I'm not going to be Tiffany. I'm not going to be... There was another person.
Venus.
I'm not going to be Q. Five times. I'm not walking home with an idol in my pocket. Do you think that we are going to see people just like playing their idol the moment they get theirs?
Maybe. I would. I'm like, I don't know why there was only this time and next week that Q could have played it. So why didn't he just play it tonight? He only had two times he could use it.
Because he thought he wanted to be guaranteed in the final. Like, hubris. Yeah, there's the, everyone's like, well, I'm going to wait to the end and then guarantee myself into final four or final five. But like, also Q, everyone's been trying to get you out every week for the last
His number was month. Up.
Yeah, his
number. Unfortunately. I mean,
what a guy. What a guy. But
he was a guy. There was a moment in this episode where, and it's like Brett's lower third on the stream is Q skirt influencer. So there was a moment where like Maria was putting on a Q skirt and Q was just laughing and having the time of his life and like egging her on and clapping. And you got the shot of Q laughing and clapping and then like dead stone face from Charlie, Kenzie, Ben, like everyone else just dead stone face. And I was like, this literally is like a scene from Billy Madison. And Q is Adam Sandler and everyone else is, what's his name, Bradley Whitford. Like just, I'm going to get that guy. Like it was so perfect. It was so beautiful. I was like, this is actually why I love Q. He's completely oblivious. He was just a great character. It's such a dynamic, interesting guy. Like, well, I said he was oblivious. He actually did have some, he had some self-awareness. He was smart. He was savvy. He just, in the end, wasn't the best Survivor player, I guess. But I really am glad he came into my life.
I know. I would love, I mean, season 50, we talked about it last week or 2 weeks ago. Just, it's going to be an all-returner season. Probably. Yeah. I would imagine significantly pulling from seasons 41 through 49. Mm-hmm. Throw him in there. He's great.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a comment from Philip G in the chat. Maria bugs.
And then there was slang? Also. Is that slang? Is that she Gen Z? She bugs me.
Yeah.
She's serving.
I think it's a negative. It's not serving is so. Like a good thing. Well, there's also some chatter in the Discord about, like, Maria starting to annoy people. All I can say is, like, y'all are haters. actually...
This is the hater pod.
This week, I was like, even though I don't find her, like, that, like, interesting in a way that usually I love, you know, like, she's not a little brat. She's not, like... sassy. She doesn't have like a huge character, really. You know who she reminds me of?
You.
Tashi Duncan.
Oh. Come on.
she is such a fucking beast. I mean, how can you not? I understand, sure, if people are like, oh, she wins everything and that's annoying. Sure, I get that for sure. But how can you not at least be a little bit impressed? Like, give this woman her flowers. She's winning in all of these extremely physical competitions. Against Q, who was like a former whatever. Wasn't he a soccer player or something?
No, he was a college football athlete. Player. He was a college football player. On a
like, I don't remember. It's possible she was an athlete too. But from all I can tell, she's a parent coach, which doesn't seem like it would be the most physically demanding job. I think she's absolutely amazing. I think she is so impressive. Even though, like I said, I prefer my characters to be more like Carolyn or Venus. I just think she's incredible. And Joy Truex, in the chat says exactly.
Joy True, you got to give us a pronunciation guide. If you're going to comment on our podcast as much as you do, you got to give us a pronunciation guide.
But she says, exactly. She deserves to win at this point. Love her, hate her. Egg, exactly. Like, people are logging in from Haterville. They're driving in. They got their PhDs.
Me.
Player hater degrees. Talking about how she sucks and she's annoying. Yeah, but she's playing, first of all, she's playing socially really, up until this point, really well. She uses her little boys. She finds, like Tashi Duncan, she finds her little boys, whether it's Charlie or Q.
She gets them to kiss.
Yeah, she gets them pit against each other.
It's like, it's a 90-minute show. Just show them kissing once.
Yeah. And then she herself is like an insane physical beast. I mean, she's so incredible. So if Maria wins, which is looking like it might happen. Okay, then this is very important too. Philip G brings up in the chat, she's slaying the game, I'll admit it, but her crying over the letter was so lame. Okay, I'm glad you bring that up because that to me, I was like, finally, she's giving us some Liz. Like, that's actually, like, finally she's giving us some caricature. She's giving us a little something that isn't just like, I'm a mom, I'm normal, I'm down to earth. That at least was a little, when she was like, something inside me died today. I was like, okay, finally, some drama. I loved that.
Danielle.
Yes.
How it feel to be so wrong?
I wouldn't know. You tell me.
Oh, wow. Burn. I think the frustration with Maria is that she's so good and that we have a season of characters. USA, characters, welcome. You got Liz Wilcox in the game. You got Charlie, for better or worse. You got Ben, shredding, dude. You got Q, iconic. You got Venus, iconic. Literally, like, put them on whatever season 50 is. I mean, who could forget Randon? No, but even Banu, like, I think the cast this year had a bunch of characters and more, like, name one person from the last season of Survivor. Name who won the last season of Survivor. I don't even know. It was D. Never mind.
Who's
yeah,
D?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the letter. Yeah.
I was going to say Carolyn's friend.
No, Jam. That was two or three seasons ago. Okay. Time.
I don't remember.
We have a bunch of, I think the disappointment with Maria, who I don't think is going to win. I think the disappointment with this kind of like Maria steamroll in this portion of the game is that you have Venus, you have Q, you have Kenzie, you have Charlie, you have Liz. Ben, did I say Ben? I don't really want to include Ben. This episode, they were like, we got to show Ben, I guess. See what his night terrors are up to. What I mean to say, though, is you have some really great characters this year who play. Whether or not Q is a good player or not doesn't matter. Whether or not Venus is a good player or not doesn't matter. But the way they play is entertaining in and of itself because they're chaotic. They're, you know, full of themselves. They are arrogant, whatever. So to see the mom of three who's just playing it the right way kind of steamroll over all of them and win is just like, I think people are preemptively disappointed in her winning because they want to remember this season for the season that Q was just crazy the entire time and then won, or the season that Venus, this beautiful young woman who is completely like not aware of herself, was like bitchy to everyone and then won. They want to remember it for that instead of like Maria just someone kind of boring. Being like, oh, I'm the mom, and being I think it would be like a boring winner for how exciting and entertaining the season was. That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I think there's a chance she's going to win. I think
I hear
she actually
that.
Also completely misplayed her hand this week, though. Like, she could easily, if she gets the final three, she very much has probably the strongest case to win. People might not like. I don't know what the jury is going to think about that. But she went in this week. She went into this tribal council saying, this is the week I'm going to kill Charlie. I'm going to cut ties with Charlie. And she played that hand. And we don't know what's going to happen. But I know the first scene of next week's episode of Survivor is going to be all them getting back to camp. And Charlie's going to be like, dang, who voted for me? Because I know the four people who voted for Q. By process of elimination, that's Q and Maria. He just lost his number one. The strongest player in the game just got outed for trying to and failing to stab her number one in the back. So I don't think this is actually going to really add up for her to win. I think everyone's going to be coming for her in the next two
Everyone tribals. Should be coming for her.
You know, who knows what happens in the fire making competition if she makes it there or participates there. So I think we're shaping up to probably someone other than Maria winning, and that's why people are but my previous point is why people are a little bit disappointed in like why it seems so inevitable.
I guess so. But when I think about, like, first of all, the fact that she took a shot at Charlie, her little protege, mm-hmm. her little like buddy, that I loved the scene of them both lying to each other, like they're sitting on the rock.
That was great. And
they're just both lying through their teeth. I just loved that. It was like beautiful to watch. Mm-hmm. But like, I think her taking the shot at Charlie makes her so fun, makes her so interesting. Like, that was a big shot. So when people are like, oh, she's boring, well, she's winning all these comps. She's a comp beast. She's not afraid to stab her best friend in the back, lie to his face. Like, I feel like if it comes down to Maria versus Charlie, I 100% think Maria is a more satisfying winner. Like, why would Charlie be getting Charlie? Why is because he's young, cute boy? Is that why we like him more than we like Maria? Because that feels wrong to me. I would root more for Maria. Sorry. Not sorry.
I can't put my finger on what's the difference,
right? Because, like, Charlie's not a big interesting character. Why? Because he talks about Taylor Swift. So what? She's more interesting than him. She made them play rock, paper, scissors.
I very much think we are... Like, you know, one of the questions in the Discord, we'll talk about it at some point. Like, maybe we'll talk about it now. Like, one of the questions in the Discord is, who's going to win? What are your predictions? Mm-hmm. I think Charlie's going to win. I think the edit is really playing towards a Charlie win. We are learning so much about him and his strategizing, even in his minor failures and trip-ups. When people are shown to have hubris in this game, in the edit, it usually comes back to bite them. And they're giving Charlie this kind of like underdog mastermind edit here. Like, I think I really don't see, hell, she could win another immunity, but like, if she does, how many immunities is she going to win in a row? Like, I think everyone here is, other than Liz, like a relatively good competitor. Hell, we just saw Ben almost won immunity other day. Like, he was really, really close. Or the reward. I forget which one, but like, I think she is like probably one of the strongest bets to be the first person evicted, banished, whatever, sent home in
next week's
episode, where two people are going to go where, you know, there's going to be a regular tribal and then there's going to be a fire-making tribal.
Yeah. I just think, like, we should, like, I don't know what's clouding everyone's judgment, but when Jeff brought up that she is one win away from joining, like, an elite group. Yeah, exactly. We support all moms. My bias is showing. All right. But Jeff said she's going to join an elite group of women who have won that number of comps, but yeah, in like an even shorter period of time. I'm just saying, when you see Maria going head to head with Q and Charlie, and Maria's like leaving them in the dust and they cannot catch up, and then they get to the puzzle and they really can't catch up, I just think that's incredible. And the fact that she is also a mastermind, if it comes down to Charlie versus Maria, you know who I'm rooting for.
I don't think it's going to come down to Charlie versus Maria. I think I think they have set themselves up where one of them is like literally not making it past the next tribal. There's no reason for Ben, Kenzie, and Liz to vote out anyone other than Charlie or Maria.
I didn't even like her that much before.
The voting block is the other three people. Is the three people who aren't Charlie and Maria.
Liz had some amusing moments this episode.
Queen.
Updating everyone.
Updating everyone.
What's going on with her body?
Yeah. She lost 5 pounds. She lost 5 pounds.
She's really funny.
She pooped.
I also, there's that. I have two things that I wanted to bring up about Jeff with you, Brett.
Okay. Gladly.
The first was the reward challenge was for Chinese takeout.
I had some thoughts.
And Jeff didn't even say chicken chow mein. Like, he didn't say anything.
No, he didn't say anything.
He didn't build it up at all. Beef and broccoli. Like, why didn't he say any scallion pancakes?
And then he said the classic white boxes are going to be there.
Who cares?
I care. Yeah. The classic white boxes were not there. These were these boxes were new inventions. They also said the sanctuary on them. You need the classic cube-shaped boxes with the fold-out top. These were rectangular in shape. These were recent inventions.
Eco-friendly. Yeah.
I did not like that. Absolutely. We did not get a list of the menu.
Crispy fortune cookies.
I think, listen, Chinese takeout is also, it's interesting. He said Chinese takeout, which implies that it was from a restaurant.
Right. On the island.
They just got Chinese food.
It was just Chinese food.
That implies that there is a restaurant with
within walking distance of the camp.
Yeah, that they got it from the restaurant. And this wasn't that because it's Steven makes the pizza. He brings his pizza stone from Los Angeles to Fiji every few weeks or whatever. So that was interesting. If anything, the Applebee's was more takeout than the Chinese.
Yeah, agreed. And they didn't show us any shots of the, General Tso's chicken. They didn't show us anything of the Chinese food. I was a little disappointed in that.
Danny, what is your Chinese takeout order?
Scallion pancakes.
Wow.
Obviously. Mm-hmm. I'll always do some type of noodle with veggie.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say lo mein with veggies. And then I like a spicy beef and broccoli.
Mm.
Ginger chicken is always good.
Great.
And then rice, plain rice, and fortune cookies. That's it.
I don't fuck with the plain rice.
Well, you need something to sop up all
You need a very saucy dish to soak over it. No, something similar, like a chicken or a pork lo mein, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then whatever, then a beef and broccoli, mm-hmm. garlic chicken, like a spicy garlic chicken or something like that.
Yeah.
I am a sucker for egg rolls. You give me an egg roll, true,
of course,
New York egg roll, the size of your fist. That is probably one of my three favorite foods.
Yeah, you got to get those too. So good. Okay, another thing that Jeff said that I have to discuss with you.
Yes.
At Tribal, I'm guessing you wrote this down too, but let's see. Jeff said, I watch a lot of police interrogation videos.
Yeah, you know I wrote that down.
I don't even remember what they were talking about, but Jeff just voluntarily is like, I watch a lot of police interrogation videos, and I have so many follow-up. I really was not able to let that slide. What, first of all, why are you watching those?
Is this man on one of these, algorithmically streaming vertical video apps? I get served you get served a lot of interrogation videos on there, or the police body cam of someone, a drunk person getting pulled over, and the the 12-minute like DUI thing of them being like, right. I'm not drunk. Don't you know who I am? My dad's the mayor of Kissimmee, right, right. St. Cloud, Florida. Does he just watch those? Is he like,
does he think of this?
Yeah, yeah. Is he like just kind of like crime-pilled where he just like wants to watch people getting arrested?
Is it research for how he asks questions on Survivor? Is like, does he see it as a work thing?
That was another thing too. Is like, does he think that like learning from like police interrogations like that might makes him better at tribals or something like that? I don't know. That was an amazing thing that he just threw out.
My second question is, he says, I watch a lot of police interrogation videos. What's a lot? That's my question. How many? How often? He watches 20 minutes of them per night? Like, what?
I love to think about the mundanity of glamorous people's lives.
Exactly.
For example, there was a shot of Meryl Streep at Cannes this week, and she's on the stage, you know, being applauded for something, and her iPhone is in her hand and the phone screen is on, and I'm like, I need to zoom in on these apps. I need to see what Streep has on her home screen. Maybe it wasn't her home screen, but she has the American Airlines app. She has the MLB ballpark app, the app that you need to get tickets, to present tickets at an MLB. How many
a game.
Games? I have that app. That app is in a folder. I go to a lot of baseball games. I'm probably this year, I'm on track to hit like 12 to 15 baseball games this year. I went to my fourth game of the year last night, and it's early. That's in a folder for me, because even I am like, I don't need this clogging up a whole block on the main, right?
Yeah.
Streep has got it on the main. All of us have, maybe not, sorry, I didn't mean to say that. All of us have parents, all of us like, nope, like, my parents just like sit on their phones, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, what are people in their 60s or 70s doing? They're just like sitting on a couch, like playing
watching
the news and like playing Bejeweled on their iPad or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what Streep does most nights when she's like not working, right? Like, she can't be glamorous every night.
Martin Short.
What is Jeff doing most nights, even nights when he's in Fiji?
Yeah.
Like, there's not a tribal every night. He's in his house. No. He's in his hotel room or his condo or his villa, whatever. He probably owns in a fucking island in Fiji at this point. What's he doing?
He kicks up his feet.
He's on YouTube Shorts and he's watching police interrogation videos. His glasses all down on his nose.
And then,
so he can look up and watch the TV.
Well, the other thing is like, when he's watching these police interrogation videos, is he watching from the point of view of the police or of the suspect?
Well, sometimes you watch him and it's like, man, this police is out of pocket right now. He needs to be suspended and arrested himself.
Yeah.
And then sometimes it's like the person being interrogated is like, oh yeah, I killed my wife. I killed him. Right. And you're like, whoa. Thank God the police caught that guy.
Yeah.
Anyways, a lot. There was also another piece of Jeff this week on the immunity idol, the immunity challenge. He says something.
I hope this is what I was going to say. I said two things about Jeff. I actually have three. Yeah.
He says early on in the challenge, he's like, it's not as easy as it looks sitting at home on your couch. The way he said couch was so pointed. And
I went, shut up, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm on a couch. Yeah, me on my couch is what is paying your bills right now. It's what putting your kids through college. You're a millionaire because I'm on my couch watching you.
Exactly. No, literally the exact same thing, Brett. I was so, that like shook me to my core, him saying that. Because like, Joy Truex, still don't know how to pronounce the last name. Joy says, I was like, I'll have you know I'm sitting at my table eating lunch. Yeah, exactly. We can watch Survivor anywhere now, Jeff. Maybe we're watching it while we're driving heavy machinery. You don't know.
Please do not.
But like he called out every single and he was right, because I was saying to Thomas, my husband, I was saying, you know what? This balance stuff is so easy. Like I could do this so easily. I'd win. I'd be like Maria. I'd be at the top of the heap. But then he said again, he was like, everyone thinks it's so easy while they're at home on the couch. Like he literally was calling us all fat, lazy losers. Yeah. Like that's what he was saying. That was the subject of him saying that.
Yeah.
And then to tie into another comment in the chat was Philip G says, Jeff also said, sign up your mom for Survivor this week. He's crazy. Yeah. They used that that interstitial again of him being like,
That was a repeat one. Yeah.
But it is sort of like, it was like, your mom's on the couch. Tell mom to sign up for Survivor. What's with Jeff being a hater of couches?
Couches pay his fucking bills. Matt in the chat is calling
me out. He's calling me out saying that he wants to see me do a balance. I'm just saying, I would gladly stand on one leg for an hour, easily, on a very narrow piece of wood.
Again, I couldn't do a single one of these challenges. Like, well-fed, like, stretched out, you know, I just couldn't. And these people like haven't eaten in days.
That's what also made me laugh about Q losing.
I went to the gym once and I didn't eat breakfast and I passed out.
That's not good. Yeah. So Jeff really called us all out this week. A lot going on in Jeff's world this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else on Survivor? We talked about really the most important things. We talked about the Chinese food. We talked about interrogation videos.
I think that's it for me.
Yeah, it's kind of...
It was a good episode. I liked it. And it really put me strongly in the Maria camp, obviously. So I'm good for it.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's the craziest development, is that you're zagging when everyone else is like... It's not that we don't like Maria. It's just like... She's not that interesting. And then, like, the most we get from her is, like, she misses her kids. You know what? You know what I will say? I'll continue talking about Survivor.
Okay.
Because Jeff called this out. I think the other contestants called this out, too. Like, when they got the letters from home. And he's like, people at home, they don't realize how hard it is. Like, because you at home, you're like, oh, it's 26 days. What's another two days without hearing from your family? We're like, we're literally at the end here. I could handle it. Not that I don't love my family. I could handle it. I wouldn't break down like Maria. I wouldn't. I'm also not a parent.
Yeah, but I was like, this would probably be hard. I don't know if I'd break down like that, but.
I mean, I probably would cry upon receiving the letters. But like, I wouldn't. I'd be able to be strong through like, okay, I can wait.
Yeah.
I can wait for, I'm a very patient person. You know, like the marshmallow test, exactly. Where it's like, we're gonna give you two marshmallows if you don't eat this one. And then all the kids are like, give me the marshmallow.
Yeah. Before I had my child, I probably would have been able to go 3 months without talking to a single soul, and I would have been fine. But now I'm like, it'd be hard. A couple days is hard for sure. So I feel them. I feel them all. They were all emotional. I really couldn't tell you. Oh yeah, Kenzie moved her wedding for Survivor. Did you know that?
Yeah, she talked about it. I mean, I didn't know that in advance. I found out Kenzie was. It's like, I'm watching this. I've been watching this entire season. I'm not snooping on. Like, I don't want to follow people online. I want to see what they're doing on social. I'm like, ooh, Kenzie.
I wonder how big the wedding is.
Kenzie's a little bit Brady's type, you know?
She's cutie, for sure. She's prom queen.
Very sweet. Very sweet. Yeah. Very nice. Very smart. And I'm like Matt Berry in Toast of London. The first second, she's like, oh, and I moved my wedding with my fiance. It's like, fuck, Kenzie. Whatever, fuck you. She sucks.
There is a Cut article this week, as there are many weeks, There's a Cut article about women who are going broke being bridesmaids.
It's expensive. It's expensive.
It's expensive out there.
I was
destination weddings.
Oh my God. I've been a groomsman a few times. It's like, it's like work. It's especially as a groomsman, like I end up having to do physical labor. I had to spend an entire like granted, I had the ability to do this at the time, but I had the entire, I had to go up to like a, it was a location wedding in that it was like rural. And I, and I had to go to the location like a week in advance and help build the damn fucking thing. And like
chapel.
And like get covered in dust and like have to wear a like respirator to do like machine labor and stuff.
Wow. They trusted you with that?
I don't know why.
But you were there.
I had to do like a bunch of physical labor and stuff. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that's time. I understand that. And on the women's side, like that's crazy as well. Like they literally made a movie about how psycho it is that like one person's rich friend gets to just decide, yeah, I think we should throw this kind of party and you all have to wear it. You all have to buy this dress. And if you disagree with it, you're socially ostracized.
Well, there what's is so crazy to me.
All these unspoken rules on the women's side where it's like, yeah, it sucks. Have less friends, I think is the answer.
But before I had, like before my friends were at like getting married age, and honestly, I never had a rough time because like I was never a bridesmaid. My friends always don't like me that much. I was never a bridesmaid. Yeah, always a bride. But like,
you're going to be one of my groomsmen, Danny.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to be that girl in the video who's like, I'm not with the bride. I'm with the groom because I'm such a guy's girl. But that's like, you. but I just didn't, I don't know. I didn't go to a ton of weddings. I feel like a lot of them were in New York. There were just parties, you know, it wasn't like a big destination thing.
I've also been to a,
I thought,
I
thought, it was like if you get invited to be a bride, I thought the bride paid or like the couple paid for that stuff. Like, you're going to be a bridesmaid. Here's the dress I bought. Tell me your size because I want you to wear this. So, you know, that's I thought that's how it worked. Oh, we're going to do a not the wedding itself. Like, I always knew you'd pay to go there. But I thought if you're having like a bridal part, like a bachelorette in Vegas, like I'm paying for the room, you guys get there or something. But no, that's not how I learned. That's not how it works.
The one, I've been a groomsman twice. And one of the weddings, they were like, here's the uniform for the groomsmen. It's like a khaki slack with a white shirt. But we want all the groomsmen to be wearing matching ties and matching suspenders. So they bought the suspenders and the ties.
Right.
But the shirt and the pants, that was like, you figure that out for yourself. And then the other time,
they wanted you all in suspenders.
So like that wasn't that terrible. Yeah. Like, and then the other time it was all the men had to wear a matching tuxedo and I had to pay for it. But like it was a kind of cheaper because the groom's dad was like fraternity brothers in the 60s with a guy who owns like a tuxedo rental shop. So it was like discounted more so than probably a regular wedding, but it's still, you know, it was still like $100-$200 or something like that.
Yeah. It adds up. It adds up.
Also so many weddings I've been to, they don't even do the groomsman bridesmaid thing anymore. They're like, I just don't want to make that decision.
It's kind of like going out of, it's like not as chic. I don't think it's as chic. Like these things are all trends, right? Like you go through phases. I think big weddings are coming back though because of COVID, because people weren't able to have their big weddings during COVID. So now everyone's like, it's my time to have a party.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I would do it either just because like, I'll be honest, I wouldn't trust my best friend to be my best man. I'll say that to his face too.
Best man just has to hold the ring, right? Is that the job?
I wouldn't trust him to do that.
Yeah.
I love him. I would not trust him to do any of that.
We didn't even have, and he'd like, be I like, had my fair. Engagement ring. But like for my wedding, for when I got married, we had to go buy our wings like rings like a week after because we just didn't have them yet. Well, you just go to sit. We went to City Hall. You know, it was a simple thing for us. But all right. What else did you watch this week, Brett?
I completed a pretty good show. I really liked it. I completed Shogun on Hulu.
People which love this show.
Which ended maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I was a little bit slower on my watch of it. I watched the first few episodes and I kind of just like, it wasn't that I wasn't feeling it. It is a show that is 95% subtitled. So it's like, it's a reading chore. It is a phone in the other room show for sure.
Yeah.
And, I kind of was like, I don't know, I just wasn't like latched into it. And then I was like, man, everyone really loves the show. Let me watch more of it. And then I was like, yeah, the show's really good. And I finished the rest of it in about a week or so. Loved it. I mean, it wasn't the best thing I've ever seen. I'm not going to be raving about it for years. I'm still like pondering the finale to it. It's interesting because it seems relatively... Listen, it's based off of a novel, as well as a novel that was made into a miniseries in, I believe, 1980 or around then. So it seemed to me like a relatively single piece of filmmaking. There's possibly going to be a season. So like I kind of watched this assuming that the end was going to be the end. And it feels like an ending, but like there might be a season two because it did very well and it was very popular. A lot of people liked it.
I watched the first episode.
Yeah. What did you think?
My thing was, I'm watching the first episode the whole time. I don't have an issue with subtitles. I don't have an issue with like something based on a book I haven't read. My issue was, I'm watching this thing and I'm thinking, where are my girls at? Where are my girls at? And they don't show up till the very last scene. The very last scene, finally, we meet an interesting girl. And I'm like, ooh, where has she been this whole freaking episode? It wasn't enough. I was like, I don't need to watch the second episode. Why? For them to make me wait another hour to meet this girl? No, thank you.
The star of this show is Mariko Sama. This woman is incredible actress.
She's
and there's
great.
Some other there are some like other supporting actresses who aren't like one of the she's like one of the three leads of the show, right? And there's some other actresses on this show who are fucking incredible. And also like they only speak in Japanese. You're like, oh my god, like this the characterizations of like there's this kind of subplot a little bit later on with like whorehouse, for lack of a better term, with all these courtesans and stuff. And there's like the old kind of matron who like runs it, who is like an old prostitute herself. But this woman is incredible actress. Oh my God. But the main woman who plays the main kind of interpreter, so much of what's really interesting about the show is there's only one, well, there's a few very tertiary kind of like European characters, but like there's one main character who's kind of your POV character, but he's still not like the main character of the show, who is an English seaman who has been kind of captured.
Guy, who he was also very, I thought he was really hard to like understand because that, he looked different in every scene. Every scene I was like, who's this guy now?
One of the complaints about the show when I get it is like he might be the worst actor on the show. And he's also the only person who speaks
in
English.
He always seems like a different person.
Yeah, and he's like, he has a very interesting affect. Like he's American and he's playing a British guy like in the 1600s. And he's doing this like, he's doing like Bane voice. It's weird. He's doing like Tom. It is very much an acquired taste, like what this guy is doing. And I don't even know if it's good. That being said, I still enjoyed the show so much. Like how weird and kind of like off-putting and bad this guy's performance is, it almost like adds to the charm of the show because it's like he is so alien and you know, much of the show is like his perspective of like, you know, he's a guy in the 1600s, never been to Japan, doesn't know what Japanese culture is like. And he's thrust into this palace intrigue story of these five, you know, kind of leaders of the Japanese government or something like that, where the emperor has died and his son, the setup is the emperor has died and his, or some title like that, and his son is like 8. His heir is too young to actually assume power. So these 5 like leaders of the Congress or Senate or whatever the hell they're called, yeah, they're all vying for power until the young child becomes emperor again. And the main one that we follow, the other 4 don't like him, and they're going to basically assassinate and behead his ass because they're like, this guy sucks. We don't like him, but we like him because he's an underdog, and we, you know. And then this English sailor somehow gets wrapped up in it, and the Lord Torinaga, the one who the guy who we like, he's kind of using the English guy to, you know, scheme and do some, you know, political intrigue and military stuff behind the scenes. Lord Torinaga, amazing. And then he has Lord Torinaga has this, his top, one of his top advisors is this woman, Mariko, who speaks. Also, all the English in this show is Portuguese. And so you have to understand, whenever they're speaking English in the show, they're actually speaking Portuguese. Anyway, she understands Portuguese. The English main character understands Portuguese. So she's his interpreter. And then they have, like, they're the only 2 people who can kind of communicate honestly with each other. And so much, what's really interesting about the show is it's all subtitled. So Lord Torinaga says something. She translates it to English or to Portuguese in English for her and for us. And there is so much interest. There's so much interesting drama in how she chooses to translate things. It is so interesting, and it makes for it's really great. Where you're like, what? Oh my god, I'm so apologized. I really like this show.
I'm paying attention.
I really like this show. But like, sorry for the audience. Someone in the chat, Philip G, said Danny's face is glazing over. Oh, okay, and Matt May too. All right, I'll shut the fuck up. Who cares?
No. Listen, people love this show. So I'm sure there's people out there who are like interested. They've heard of it maybe, and Brett's giving a breakdown of what it actually is. Like I said from my first episode, I just need a little girly to get me interested. And I'm just saying she came a little too late. But apparently she gets great development.
This woman is amazing. I apologize. I spoke way too much about that show.
No.
I really liked it.
I don't have anything to talk about. The only other thing I watched was the movie Red Eye, starring Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy and Brian Cox in a small role. It is so good. Do people remember this movie? It's like them on a plane.
Yeah, no, it's like...
Wes Craven directed this movie.
Yeah, no, I remember when it came out.
It's like a great little movie. It's the type of movie that used to like play on TV all the time, you know, when people...
Oh, yeah, TV. No, and it's like, I think the movie's like 95 minutes or something like that. It's like, oh, it's really tight.
And they definitely were like, Wes, you know what we love? We love when you have like a killer and a girl in a house, a beautiful house, and they're chasing each other. And it's like,
but they're on a plane.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, then they get to a house. They do go to a house. Spoiler alert. But it's so good. It's also very shocking to see Brian Cox like, like in his 40s or maybe 50s, but like not that old.
Yeah.
You know, to see Logan Roy like actually not that old. And sprightly.
Yeah, he's also the bad guy like from around the same time in X2, X-Men, X-Men movie. Yeah, he's Colonel Stryker.
Wow, Colonel Stryker.
Yeah, striking up and down
while the coast. Hot.
yeah, I mean, I'm kind of doing like a subtle rewatch of Succession, just like let's throw it on. Yeah. He's so good in it. But yeah, like it's going to be really interesting. Sorry to go to Succession land, but like to see what all these actors do, because it is so iconic. It's like a little bit of like Mad Men disease too, where like the show is so good and like, cool, John Hamm, you can do The Town. You can like guest on 30 Rock all you want, but like John Hamm, other than Fargo season 5, John Hamm really hasn't found the thing.
He's in everything, though. He's constantly.
Oh, I know. He's constantly working, but he's Don. But it's like so much of what John Hamm does is like, isn't it funny that this super hot astronaut looking guy who's tortured on
morning
the inside
show.
For Mad Men
morning
is
show.
Like,
yeah,
is like farting around with Kristen Wiig or farting he's around working. With Liz Lemon. You know, he's working.
He's really working.
Elizabeth Moss is doing something. Doing something where she's like a Swedish spy or whatever, doing weird accents. Good for her.
Oh, yeah, she's working too. Yeah, she's always working.
Where's Vincent Kartheiser?
Yeah, where is he?
Where is Vincent Kartheiser? His hairline.
Yeah, the other ones are sort of like, I guess they're figuring things out. Christina Hendricks, Trudy. I know you love Trudy.
No.
Oh.
No, because she's, it's something weird because she's married to the Franco brother. And then like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. And then like she, well, this is like so deep in LA. Like I live by this concert venue and like she was like doing a show there or whatever. And it's like a little bit like, it's a little bit like theater kid, like stop vying for attention. Get out of here.
The Tonys were announced.
The nominees.
Nominees.
It's kind of
Rarely
a weak
we
year.
Roll along.
It's kind of a weak year.
I feel like I'm just so not into, I don't know what's playing. I don't know what's hot. I don't know what's not on the Broadway. But
I like trying to follow this stuff, but you know, if Rachel McAdams play, nominated best play.
Again. And that was the other thing I noticed during the movie. I was just like, wow, Rachel McAdams. It's so beautiful. Like, there's a lot. It's very tight on her face the whole time. And same for Killian. But obviously, Killian has, like, his crazy ice blue eyes. But, like, Rachel, wow. She's like an old movie star. She's great.
Beautiful.
We love her. Great actress.
The issue with Broadway this year is, like, there are so many musicals that are, like, book adaptations this year. And they all, like, kind of stink. There's, like, a great Gatsby one. There was an Outsiders, the Outsiders musical. There's Water for Elephants, the book, not the movie. There was a The Notebook musical. There was a bunch of the book, not the movie, but everyone knows the movie. You know, like there was just a lot of like mid to late 20th century novels that were adapted into musicals this year. And it's like,
you gotta go with that existing IP.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you really want to see Water for Elephants, the musical? It's nominated for Best Musical. It's Hell's Kitchen, which appears to be a musical with Alicia Keys music. Illinois is a musical that is adapting the Sufjan Stevens album. The Outsiders, Suffs, which is about suffragettes. It's about the early, and Water for Elephants are the five nominees for Best Musical. I would check out Illinois. The rest kind of not for me, dog.
Yeah. I don't want to forget. There is a question for me in the Discord.
There's a few questions. There's a few questions, too.
Shall I read your question to
you? Yeah, absolutely.
Question for Danny, but I'll put it to the whole group. I'm watching this episode of Star Trek, so where they're in an Old West simulation. Okay, so like Westworld. And Data is an evil cowboy. Is Brent Spiner an amazing actor?
Yeah. Is that Brent Spiner
Brent
good?
Brent Spiner?
You don't even know. You watched so much Star Trek and you didn't know, I know. Brent Spiner?
Brent Spiner plays Data.
Is he amazing?
Yeah, I know he's amazing. I already knew he was amazing. You know why? Because I watched a little movie that all Americans know called Independence Day.
Yeah, where he's like a
Independence
scientist.
Day, yeah, he plays a totally different. I didn't realize that was the same guy until a long time later.
Yeah, look at all the hair he has.
Shocking.
Look at his beard. It's great.
Shocking. Yeah. He's got these glasses.
Wow, they put makeup on an actor in the year 1996.
But he's so different. So yes, I think he is a great actor.
It's just like, you don't think of Brent, like, it's not like Daniel Day-Lewis, Leo DiCaprio, Brent Spiner. And every time Brent Spiner says something, you're like, holy shit, this guy's like actually a fucking chameleon. This guy's and plays a robot man. And then,
yeah,
like,
maybe you don't think that, Brett. Maybe you don't think that, but maybe others do.
I know. I was watching this episode of TNG, and I'm like,
the problem is,
it's like Data plays like a bunch of characters in this one. And it's like, is this guy a fucking awesome actor?
Yeah.
Am I crazy for thinking this?
I think the issue is he gets overshadowed by Picard and Captain Horndog. So it's just like
Captain Horndog sucks.
So he probably knew at the time, too. He was like, ugh, I'm stuck playing a robot, and I have so much inside me to give. He probably talked to the writers. He was like, can you put us in an Old West simulation so that I can play a cowboy?
But he's like an evil cowboy.
Wow, no. Philip G. in the chat says Star Trek's is better than Molly's Game. That's not true.
That's correct. There was another question from earlier in the episode. Skarkle, have you been watching the new season of Hacks?
I'm not. So I don't watch Hacks. I did watch the first episode and I
am of the new season like, or the show of the series
of the
itself?
First of the show itself. And I think it's good. I think it's a good show. I don't know. I haven't kept up with it.
I watched the full first season and I liked it. I didn't love it. And then I started watching the second season and I was like, I actually don't like this show. I don't think it's
not
like,
for you.
I struggle with comedies and it just by the second season, it really wasn't working for me. Good for everybody involved. Good for
totally. I'm happy it's got an audience that people love.
Yeah. I guess so, but I don't know.
Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for listening. There's only two episodes of Survivor left?
No, there's one.
Oh, wow. It's almost over. I really think the arc of this season for me personally was so crazy because I went from like truly being like, I can't believe I have to talk about this show that I don't watch. And now I'm like, I am the number one watcher of this show because I actually pay attention to it and I'm on Maria's side. So for me personally, it's been a huge character development this season.
Wow. Well, I apologize for talking about...
Don't apologize. Sometimes I talk about things that you haven't seen and I have to talk about them.
I'm never going to talk. I'm literally never going to talk again.
We'll see you all next week. Thanks for watching. Go watch some police interrogation videos.
Yeah.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff.